Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We ended last week in the closing verses of chapter 4 of Galatians. And we pointed out that the first verse of chapter 5, really in chapter delineation, should be the last verse of chapter 4. We have been talking about true Protestants, not Protestants. It's become the word Protestant has become kind of a weak word. I like the word Protestant because we protest against the traditions of men which make void the word of God and continue to declare through Scripture not only the works of God, but His Word. Paul, having compared the two sons of Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac, one by a natural act, Ishmael, one by promise, Isaac, and he concludes, "Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, works of the flesh, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast." In the Greek, it's a military term. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 2 says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." This phrase in the Greek, "Behold, I, Paul," says, Paul speaking, if we put it in our language, all that I am, this is it. I'm all in. I hang my life on this phrase. This is how important it is. If ye be circumcised, that's somehow or other relying on outward performance of the law. Boy, this is a hard one. Because we all want to be better. We all would like not to lie. We all would like not to cheat. We'd all like, not to kill. We'd all like not to covet. But there is that in the flesh that we sinners would like to change. And as our relationship grows with God in Christ, it will change, but not to completion, not to perfection, not by us, not by our fleshly performance. Paul goes on to say, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law." It's not just one piece. It's not just going to, honoring the Sabbath. Give you an example. I think I've said this several times before, but I had this wonderful cartoon where a guy is going up to heaven and he presents a report card to Peter. And, you know, there is no Peter at the gate. That's a pagan custom that's entered the many traditional churches. But he presents his report card and it says, A+, perfect attendance. And the gatekeeper responds, go to hell. It's so true. Look, I, like you, suffer from desiring to perform. But Paul makes it very clear. The performance is Christ's. We be beneficiary recipients of the performance of Jesus. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace, from unmerited favor, from this gift of God that not me or you or anyone else deserved. It is a gift of God. It is unmerited favor. For we, who is that? Children of the free? Those of us who have been made free by Christ? For we, through the Spirit, it's not seen, but it's there. It's there by the promise of God. God promises for faith he'll give us his Holy Spirit, which comforts us in God's word, in God's promises. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness. That gift of God for the hope of righteousness by faith. The Thessalonian letter says of God that he will sanctify us wholly over there. The end of this life is not the last word. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. I hope God gives me the ability to effectively communicate this message as effectively as Paul has, but not many people read this letter to Galatians. I ask you out in the general audience, the congregation at the God School has heard it oft times, but I ask you, how many messages in your congregation have you heard on this book of Galatians? I know one, you know, it says, you know, everybody loves to quote this, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but of He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life, or life everlasting. They love to do that when they're taking up the collection. I don't know how much more. I don't hear true Protestants on supposedly Christian Protestant television programming. They want you to conform somehow to the law. I've been reading some stuff, guys criticizing, I read it today, a guy who claimed to be a Christian got in a fight. And a guy who was claims to be a Christian was criticizing him for getting in a fight because that's not the Christian thing to do. I hate ignorant Christianity. It is Christ at the center. It is Christ who took our sins upon himself. It is Christ who justifies. It is Christ who righteousifies. Jesus, his last words on the cross, his final statement, he said, "It is finished." Let that sink in. The work is done. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Doesn't matter whether you're following the law or you're not following the law. But faith. King James translates, but faith which worketh by love. This translation somehow suggests the love comes first. But the literal is, but faith which energizes love. But faith which energizes God's love. He goes on to talk to these children of his church, he founded it. He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calleth you. It doesn't come from God. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The two cannot stand together. The one by fleshly performance and the one by promise. I don't want to go verse by verse today. Actually, what I want to do, I want to bring an end to this study of Galatians today We go to the 16th verse, King James translation. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." The word in the Greek is translated fulfill is teleos. My pastor, Dr. Scott, I think gave the best translation of this verse. I've ever encountered. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and the flesh will not have the last word." The last word of Jesus is, "It is finished." Now, no verse of Scripture is of private interpretation. I want to give you witness to the truth of this verse, Galatians 5:16. Go to Romans 6:14, which says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." It's not going to rule. Why? "For ye are not under the law, but under grace." Under that which comes from God. "For this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and the flesh will not have the last word." In this Christian walk, we have become a dual creation, that of flesh and that of the Spirit. If you don't understand that, I pray God give you the discernment to understand what's going on, because Paul would have you understand, and he says in the 17th verse, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." How many of you know the truth of that statement? How many of you discern the difference? How many of you, this 17th verse, this word lusteth, is a warfare term, trench warfare, dug in. As long as we walk in shoe leather, this warfare shall continue. But be confident in God and walk in the Spirit, and this flesh shall not have the last word. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And he goes on and describes, you know, the works of the flesh, which, you know, a lot of fundamentalist preachers would harp on all day long. I'm not going to go there. The works of the flesh are obvious. Read it for yourself. He said, but the fruit, not fruits, the fruit of the Spirit, it's one continuous flow. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Agape, God's love, joy, it's calm delight. It comes with understanding. Peace, irene, It means to join or set together again. Long-suffering, that's fortitude. Fortitude is a consistency of mind, not discouraged in adversity. Well, I tell you, lately, things coming against me, and I'm not complaining, I'm just sharing. Things coming against me seem to be coming out of nowhere, trying to discourage me. I love it. I thank God for it. I thank God for His Spirit that gives me understanding and will give you understanding as you continue to walk in the Spirit and the fruit thereof. Gentleness, that's being useful. Goodness, that's virtue. Faith, humility. You know how you get humility? By being humiliated. It's an experience through understanding that I'm grateful for, because boy, oh boy, I've been humiliated oft times. And temperance, that's self-control. Sometimes, as I continue to walk in the Spirit, sometimes as you continue to walk in the Spirit, He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. That's like challenging in combat. Provoking one another, envying one another. That's desiring to deprive. I'm not looking to deprive anybody of anything. I'm looking to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, of which I am not ashamed of. For the righteous shall live by faith. Now, Paul gives a little counseling here. He says, brother, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if it's not you discovering it, it's someone found not going the right way, He says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Understanding. You, as well as he which is spiritual, is under the control of another. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of humility, considering yourself, lest you also be overtaken. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. If any man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. I'm not quite sure I have a full understanding of everything that Paul is saying in the next two verses, but we'll read it. But let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Just because I don't have a full understanding of this doesn't mean that I'm going to reject it. But the gospel tells me that the burden of my sins was laid on Jesus on the cross. Now, it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. If you have not participated in this ministry, and if you have been taught through this ministry, you're to communicate with good things. You're to give to the teacher. Now, to that verses often taken out of context. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we therefore have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially unto them of the household of faith. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, desire that you keep the law, that they may glory in your flesh. They want to say to God, look how I changed them. When in fact, they're bringing condemnation on. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy upon the God of Israel. From henceforth, Let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Tradition has corrupted this phrase. The word is stigmata. It was the mark of a bond slave put on by its owner. And we have, throughout the history of the church, particularly the Catholic Church, the claim of people walking around with the stigmata that they were holy people. Look at their hands and their feet. They had the stigma. No, it was a simple phrase, the mark of one who belonged to another. The mark of belonging to Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that is the God School for today.